Yeah, it looks like it's full.
On papers.
Good afternoon and welcome to the July 17th regular board, park board meeting. And we will start the day with roll call and determination of quorum. Jackie.
Begeman.
Yes.
Conlin.
Yes.
Weber.
Yes.
Wagner. Cowles.
Yes.
Stavanger.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Jackie. Next item, approval of last meeting's minutes. I'm trusting you all had a chance to look at those. I would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved, Stavanger.
Second, Smith.
Roll call.
Begeman.
Yes.
Conlin.
Yes.
Wagner. Weber.
Yes.
Cowles.
Yes.
Stavanger.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Next item is for public comment, and I don't believe we have anybody today for public comment. There is no unfinished business at this time, so I guess we'll move to item number 5, new business and the ordinance of the City of Sioux Falls and amending the code of ordinance for the city. Brett?
Good afternoon, Parks and Recreation Board. Brett Collars, Assistant Director with Parks and Recreation. Today we bring a proposed amendment to City Ordinance Section 95.070.071, seeking your recommendation of approval to the City Council. The proposed amendments, you'll find drafts in the clean version and then the edited version in your board packet. And to be more clear, really the focus of the conversation, the focus of the amendments is a proposed fee schedule for the Westside Recreation Center, in which the City Council approved the necessary funds to acquire in June. Today's proposal is a culmination of collaboration with City Council, Park Board, and community stakeholders. That proposed solution draws on conversations as recent as June 11th and individual conversations from there on. And prior to that, two small group meetings, which included two City Council members, two Park Board members, and then representatives from various city departments. And even before that then, numerous public input meetings helping us draft the vision, home the vision for Recreation Center, and online surveys. And then this all really culminates and draws back on the roots of our Parks and Recreation Comprehensive System Plan as we look to improve our offering of indoor recreation space. Go ahead, Jackie. The vision of a recreation center is the fulcrum to all these conversations. Again, it's a vision that's been honed through all the conversations. Recreation center is new to our community. It's something some of our peer communities have, but there's nothing like it in Sioux Falls today. Recreation center features indoor aquatics, indoor play, gymnasiums, multi-purpose spaces, spaces for self-directed fitness, the multi-purpose spaces for events, classes, social gatherings. Recreation centers not only offer programs that appeal across generations, but a space where intergenerational experiences are woven together, a hub where people can connect. It's a lot of the meat to accessibility drove a lot of the conversations in balancing accessibility, and namely affordability, with safety and our ability to sustain the facility. And our avenue to achieving that is through many of the definitions, most of which are new in the ordinance. If not new, they've been touched, they've been changed to match the recent conversation. So I want to start here before we discuss rates. Family, this is one that did not change, but worth mentioning. Family is the immediate family living in the same household. Noteworthy, it is not the extended family, such as grandparents. Couple is two individuals, at least one of whom is over age 18 and living in the same household. The obvious example is a couple, as you'd imagine it, but you can also think of a parent and a child in the same household. Child and infant, two separate definitions that lean on one another, which the threshold for child and infant was changed. So we've updated it from age 2 to age 3. So under age, I'll stop there. Child is a person between the ages of 3 and 17. and an infant is 0 to 3 years old. Senior citizen is a noteworthy change. The senior age threshold has been updated to age 65, or proposed to change to 65. Today's senior definition is at age 55.
Moving the lines.
It's the new 55.
It is a new, yeah.
Gotcha. Needed to define what a month is as we look to set up monthly passes. So a month we matched to how we define a year, in that a month is effective at the date of purchase. Shall be effective from the date of purchase in any calendar month to the corresponding day of the next month, if such day exists. And then, since we're setting new rates for a recreation center, we have to establish what is a recreation center. And then there's desire to complement the academic calendar year, in that if a family has a summer aquatic pass, that pass then grant them access into the aquatic facilities across, be it indoor or outdoor. And so we define what an indoor aquatic facility is. This stands in addition to the definition for what Midco Aquatic Center is. We'll get to that in some of the accessibility conversation. Go ahead, Jackie. So the next page is the proposed rates. You'll notice on the presentation page, it's focusing on 2025, both a standard rate and then a reduced rate to the on the right column. Also of note is agreement in the groups throughout this conversation, throughout this time, to apply an automatic inflation escalator. In order to achieve that, we were unable to apply a general or generic clause. We had to explicitly state what those price increases were for each year. And so if you reference the ordinance, the edited and the clean version, you'll notice explicit dollar amount for each year through 2029 for each category. To keep it legible and for today's presentation, we focused the table just on 2025. So the proposed rates aim to strike a balance between accessibility, safety, sustainability, financial stewardship, and taking care of our existing facilities.
Brett, can you comment on the payment mechanism, the daily, monthly, annual, check, credit card, electronic transfer, all of that's
all
available?
All of the above. So, working through those operational questions, but we'd liken it to today's Midco Aquatic Center operations, which is what we can relate to, and which those are all the above, the exception being that annual pass. Today's fee structure for Midco Aquatic Center just offers an annual pass, not a monthly pass. So we're preparing to offer that more automatic withdrawal to keep up a monthly recurring payment. Go ahead, Jackie. Throughout this process, we've made sure to conduct extensive research with analyzed market data of other communities in the state or of similar size. You can see that in comparison to other communities that offer similar amenities, we're proposing a reasonable rate for Sioux Falls Recreation Centers. Notice the 60, comparison purposes, we stuck to the family monthly rate, which you'll notice is at $66 per month. Then if a family should qualify for a reduced rate, it would be at $33 a month.
And would this be applicable to not only the west side, but the Frank Olson facility once it comes online as well?
Sure. So as it's defined today, I'll say yes, it's technically defined that way. I'll also mention that the focus of the conversation was really on the West Side Recreation Center as we look to stand up assume operations January 1, 2025. But the spirit of the conversation was to be inclusive of both recreation centers.
So theoretically, this pass would cover both, they'd have access to both facilities for this rate?
Theoretically correct.
Just a nitpicky question. The definition of monthly recreation center pass, why was this definition chosen? The corresponding day of the next month instead of just saying 30 days?
Yeah.
I'm just worried if you buy in February, you're getting fewer days for the same price.
Yeah, so if you buy on January 31st and then choose to cancel somewhere there in between, it would be good through February 28th, which would be a deduction of 30 days. So it's those odd months.
Gotcha.
I didn't realize how complicated defining a month could be, but I certainly went around on it.
Fortunately, my legal career learned that every definition has to be complicated.
Got through the definitions, not 1 month, that one should be an easy one. Boy, was it not. Accessibility. It's a serious topic and something we took near and dear as we sorted through the conversations. It's the driver of so much of this and one that's encouraged by City Council as well. It's really designed to complement the academic calendar year with the inclusion of the summer aquatics pass for the indoor aquatic portion of the recreation centers, and also to provide flexibility to meet individual needs, individual budgets, no contract, no activation fee, no cancellation fee, daily options, monthly options, annual options with a steeper discount to it, not to mention then the reduced rate criteria, of which another common thread to this conversation was making this easy for the consumer, easy to administer. And so with that in mind, relying on existing welfare program criteria, SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, free or reduced Sioux Falls School District lunch criteria, Medicaid, evidence of foster care, veterans, seniors, we mentioned in definition, infants we mentioned in the definition. So with these special classes and the income eligibility criteria, should you provide evidence and proof of address, proof of self, that you meet one of those, you're going to get that 50% discount at a daily, monthly, or annual rate. And then the context for these rates, family, monthly, family of four, at that standard rate, you're looking at 55 cents per day. Should you qualify at that reduced rate criteria, 28 cents per day per person. You can see the context there throughout the table. Couple monthly, standard rates, 90 cents per day per person. Actually, I think that's per day as the whole. You'd be looking at 45 cents and somewhere in the ballpark of 23 cents, now that I'm looking at it. Okay, further context to these rates, there's a lot of time spent on balancing accessibility with safety and quality and sustainability. Go ahead, Jackie.
The quick question, the exemplars family of four, but a family is not limited to four by the definition, correct?
No, that was just for context sake. Yep, sorry. Thank you for clarifying. So to calculate a per day, per person rate,
right.
Nope, family could mean anyone in that immediate family under the same household.
While I'm talking about family, though, I noticed that you stop at age 17, and most, like, high school seniors are 18, or they turned 18. So a family, I'm just wondering why you chose children to be 3 through 17 versus 3 through 18, because most high school seniors that are still living at home are 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So in another year, I'll have two kids that are 18 years old, but they would not count as a family in my family pass
mm-hmm.
under this definition. Why not use 18 since that's when most kids graduate?
I think it's a fair question. Leaned on existing criteria for that, something we can take a look at.
Brett, you referred to the rates based on certain things like safety. Could you elaborate on that? How are the rates?
Yeah,
I can based on safety. Will you talk about that?
Yeah, speak frankly, speaking with police and Chief Toom, at what threshold does the rate become low and invite or dismiss individual accountability, lack of skin in the game, if you would, for people who are purchasing a pass and you lose some regard for the facility, you lose regard for what the experience means to all of us collectively. It's a delicate conversation to have. What rate? Yeah, I'll pause there. yeah, there's a lot of what's the value in something if you pay little? What does it mean to you anymore? What type of behavior does it invite?
Complex. Thanks.
I'll get nitpicky again. And so it looks like the children older than 18 years of age under the definition of family is in the current ordinance. That's not being changed. But it is interesting to note that it says children older than 18 years of age. So there's a legal technicality argument there that if you are only 19 years of age or older, would you no longer count as being included in the family there? If it's children older than 18 years of age, not 18 years of age and older. So I suppose it's possible you could have an argument that you can get covered under the family if you're a child, but you're 18.
Right. By that definition, I'd say older than 18 years of age would mean anybody 19 and over
agreed.
Is outside of.
Right.
But the 18 and under are included as children.
Yep.
In the
how do we feel about the 17? Right now, that's what it says for like existing rates that we're currently charged to you. To Teresa's question about 18 versus 17.
So, use your family as an example. So you're 18-year-old, so they would, if they wanted to use it, they'd have to be on their own adult plan.
Right. Because they don't count as children, so they'd be individual adults. I guess I could get them a couple's pass, and my husband and I a couple's pass. Is how it would work,
but
they'd be considered.
I think if you have a family pass under this definition, if they live in your house and they're under 19, you can still count them as being in your family, the way this reads.
That would seem to cover it then.
That's how the ordinance reads, but not how the
definition,
of family reads. Like,
so is it a matter of just changing the definition and that doesn't really have an impact on the ordinance?
Right.
Yeah.
So the 95070 is under definitions,
yeah.
Family is defined
yeah.
there. And is the slide just a synopsis of what you, how you understood that to read? How the city interprets the definition of family by that?
I think that, Catherine, correct me if I'm wrong, but if there's a desire to change a child to be up to 18 years of age, including 18-year-olds, then if that's a desire, I would suggest that a board member make a recommendation to amend the proposed fee structure mm-hmm. to change that to 18 versus 17.
Don, doesn't it say older than 18, or am I missing something? You're up there reading it. It does say children older than 18. Which would mean if you're 18.
Right. Under family, but
under
a child,
yeah,
it says 3 to 17.
Yeah, it's just different.
Okay.
So it's maybe not consistent.
It's not
yeah.
Same.
So it's okay.
It's the definition, correct.
Right. Right.
Yep.
Which, but the definition, oh, and the definition's contradictory.
Yeah,
right.
They do.
In,
yep.
in the ordinance.
Yeah.
So there's definitely, it looks like an intent for individual child to have a different definition from family child.
Yes.
So
yes.
maybe
right.
that addresses the concern that if you're living at home and you're going to be on your family pass, but you can be
only living in the household.
Right.
You can be 18 and under as long as you're living in the house. The
right.
second
just pretty clear.
Right.
Right. That's pretty clear, right? You can be 18 and be a part of a family pass.
So the question is, are we okay with the definition for child for an individual pass only going up to 17? I'm fine with that, but
if I have a student living in my home, I regularly will just buy a pass for my children. I'm not,
okay.
you know, I don't go swimming. So I would buy I'd have to buy an adult pass for my senior in high school versus.
But that might that be because of the age of responsibility versus, like, I mean, they're 18, they're now responsible for their own rather than as a child, you're responsible for their behavior in the.
In the facility?
In the facility.
Like from an accountability
yeah, I mean,
standpoint.
If they did mm-hmm. something, it would go back to you, rather than if they have an adult pass at 18, and non-family pass, then they would be responsible for that themselves.
Yeah, I think from a staff perspective, I don't know that we have a real concern either way. If the board has a preference for how you would like to define a child. So
you're interpreting it in the manner in which we intended it, with the family in the immediate house, and then your question there about your example of you need to be then paying the adult rate once they turned 18 or something.
Right. Right. Not buying.
Appreciate your input on it.
Yeah. I think a consistency, you think of all the different places that other, you know, the zoo and the Great Bear, you'd think it's common that when you're 18 you're considered an adult. But so to me that kind of makes sense. I mean, a child is 17 and under, once you're 18 you're an adult legally, right?
Yeah, maybe that was the spirit of it, is that if you're 18 and you still live at home, then you're covered, right? But if you are by yourself, say you're out of the household and you have your own job and you're just working, and so it forced you to buy an adult pass, I guess is the difference, right? Mm-hmm. As I see it, but it's just better with it. Because I could see, well, I don't want to have to buy a separate pass if they're still living with me.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems like if you start defining children through 18, that might just get money for other things, maybe.
Yeah.
You know,
right, because yeah. Obviously it would have more implications than this. Like you said, the zoo. Like, my kids go to the zoo by themselves, and we'll buy an entrance fee. But
yeah.
18, if we changed it here, it would have to be changed.
Yeah, you think of places are going to, you know, a person comes to 18 to show me your age, you're going to show your driver's license. They're, you're not going to be able to prove where you live, or I live at home, or I don't live at home. I mean, the way it is seems to make most sense to me, the way it is. But
I agree.
Right, as long as they're included in a family pass. I'm
Which they would be in this case, right?
Yeah. Right. That's obvious,
right?
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
If you live at home, you're a child.
Right.
Yeah, from
I don't love it having a kid living at home that I have to pay the an adult versus a child rate for my seniors because they aren't emancipated and beyond.
Yep.
But I think there are probably more challenges in changing this definition than there are in.
I like the way it's written. It sounds like the rest of the board is comfortable with it.
I'm comfortable with it. I think thanks for the clarification. Though,
yeah,
that helps.
It is good.
So we're okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that was good. So through this, as we've explored different rates, we've conducted a sensitivity analysis to understand what the annual operating support of tax dollars would be. So what we project right now for pass revenue at these rates, pass revenue would be $1,052,000. An additional, say, $500,000 through leave dues, different room rentals, ancillary revenue streams such as that. That brings us to a total revenue of $1.5 million, weighing against our anticipated operating expenses. We are looking at a projected annual net loss, projected annual taxpayer dollar support of $685,000. Doing the math on that.
So that quite
that's what you see, how does that, you know, you talk a lot about the goal of what should be, you know, what's your wording for what should be governance board versus private. How does that kind of fit where the vision is for the park department on kind of all the facilities?
Can you ask your question in another way?
So I know at some meetings we've talked about this is kind of a discussion point, right? What should be the private part of the revenue versus the government part of the revenue, kind of as a general concept of the whole park system. And then I just wonder, how does this?
I think
what cost recovery.
Cost recovery estimate on this would be 70%.
Yeah, and I think from our, I don't want to speak for our finance director, but I will. I think they're comfortable with the rate structure and the proposed operational support it would require from the city and through the department's budget. So
being brand new to the board, I had a similar question. Just generally speaking, how does 70% cost recovery compare with other parks and rec facilities? For example, are the Sioux Falls pools operating on 70% cost recovery, 100%? Just out of curiosity, how it compares with other types of facilities.
Yeah, so any given month for Midfield Aquatic Center is like a 45, 40 to 50% cost recovery. Outdoor pools, you get less operating days, so you're going to be in a closer to 20% range.
And I think just for context too, realizing that this is first of one of two that we're planning to bring online. So, you know, you anticipate, you know, a potential doubling of that number once the other one comes online. I think that's another just thing to keep in mind, that there's more to come here. Great value to the community, great value to the users, great infusion of city investment in neighborhoods that are really going to benefit from these facilities, but it is a quality of life thing that we're investing in, so just be aware.
Brad, the difference here is about $500,000 instead of $685,000 in the math.
No, but one is just the past revenue and the other is total revenue.
Oh, excuse me, I was looking at expenses.
So those are the revenue figures. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yep, so the true expense would be add all three of those things up. And that's the expense.
That'd be the 1.5
yeah.
plus
total
685.
You're
yeah.
2.1, 2.2.
Yeah. Yeah. Over 2.2.
Thank you, Jackie. So summary. Again, we're talking proposed amendments to chapter of city ordinance section 95.070 and 071. In the presentation, we talked about the definitions, talked about the new rates. There are two other minor changes that are in this proposed amendment. One is, which I'll describe as housekeeping, there are Levitt rental rates that are still in the ordinance that are no longer applicable. And then rental room rates back from community center days that were brought in line with Midco Aquatic Center room rental rates, which is $50 per hour.
What's the removal of the Levitt rental rates?
So Levitt manages their own rentals now.
Okay.
And we worked through that a couple years ago. And so it was vestigial that it was still in our ordinance.
Just kudos to Mick and Brooke for participating in the working groups and several hours that they spent trying to hash through this and help us get to this point. So appreciate their time and effort.
So I don't know, in the ordinance, we've got family defined as including foster children, or in the reduced income, and then we remove foster in the family definition. How does that work? Seems like they're not part of the family, so they're not part of the family plan, but they are part of the reduced income calculation.
Yeah, so it's the intent was to eliminate the discrepancy. If foster care children are involved, then you are privy to that reduced rate as a family.
But they're not part of the definition of family.
So is that assumed a foster child is an immediate family member, basically, then?
Well, they wouldn't be an immediate family member.
Okay, Mick, help me out.
Which one are you looking at?
I'm looking at family.
It's easiest to look at the blue one. The blue mark one.
So,
track changes.
Yeah, so on
definition of fall, winter, and spring, reduced income as compared with the definition of family.
Yeah, so these, the reduced criteria exist today throughout various passes. We brought those together to make it more legible and applicable across our parks and recreation offering. In the reduced and added within the reduced income definition, which right off the bat states families, individuals, who are residents of Sioux Falls, and then it lists off the criteria of which now includes foster and did not previously. And so in that, families, who presently have foster children residing in the household, they apply to that then reduced income rate rather than they would the family standard rate. So the definition of reduced income includes families and individuals.
That presumes that the foster family is by definition a reduced income family, and that's not necessarily true, is it?
No, it makes it privy to the reduced rate. So you're right. I can see where that would be by the title. That's not the intent. The intent would be that you qualify for the reduced rate. It doesn't mean the family is necessarily reduced income, but should you presently have foster children, it makes you privy to the reduced rate.
So you get that benefit because you are a foster parent?
Right, regardless of
your income or anything like that.
Correct.
That makes sense.
But I guess my question would be, should the family definition include foster, or does that somehow kind of, I know it's not the intent to exclude them, but it kind of makes it seem like we're excluding them from the definition of family.
Sure.
So if I have a family pass, it doesn't include foster children.
Welcome conversation with that again. I think you comprehended the intent, right? And then how we spell that out in definition. I appreciate conversation.
Yeah. So Brett, just clarify, so if you are a foster child, parent, or family, or whatever, you automatically go to the reduced income.
Correct.
Right? So you wouldn't be included in a family pass if you paid full rate?
But you get a reduced income family pass.
Yeah.
And so if you have a reduced income family pass, but you're not a part of the family, by definition.
Can you use it?
Yeah.
Can this child use the pass
right.
because they're not
defined they're not as part of the family. By definition, they're not part of the family.
We can have foster back into the definition.
I think that would be
anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you.
Do we have to amend that then?
Yeah, we should.
Do we have to mention that in our recommendation?
Yeah, when you get to the motion, I think that would be good to have somebody. I don't know if you're done yet or Brad or not, but on your presentation. But
one last pitch. Okay. So next steps. Today we're here. I appreciate your dialogue and consideration for recommending this proposal. Next steps would be City Council first and second reading, which are August 7th and August 13th, respectively. So with that, I'm here to field your questions if you have any further in seeking your recommendation.
Any other questions?
Any other questions do we have?
I just found a lot of work went into this. Nice
yes.
job. Nice. Yeah. I mean, Nick and Brooke for help, and obviously a lot of time and effort went into this. Just nice job. Good job.
Thank you, Mick and Brooke as well. So if there are no further questions, make sure I say this right, but we will open the floor for a motion to recommend approval, but clarifying the foster child piece.
Yeah, I would go ahead and recommend make a motion to recommend approval with an amended change of including foster children as part of the family.
Okay. Is that okay? All right, we got a motion. We need a second.
Second, Pat.
A second, Rick. All right, roll call, Jackie.
Begeman?
Yes.
Conlon?
Yes.
Weber?
Yes.
Cowles?
Yes.
Stavanger?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Who would have thought that fees are so simple?
All right. We are now to item 6, the report of the park and rec person. Don, you're up.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you. Just a few things, highlights, just to kind of keep you informed about what's going on within the department. We had a great grand opening last Thursday at the skate park. I think between the groundbreaking and the ribbon cutting last week, they're probably the two biggest crowds that I've ever seen at a ribbon cutting and a groundbreaking that we've done.
I couldn't find a parking spot, so I tried to see me. I literally drove around there trying to find a parking spot.
Yeah, it was tight, and just rave reviews about the skate park. Funny, if you remember Susie Gary, who used to work for us, she sent me a video of her nephew that came in from Central California, where there are skate parks everywhere. It's kind of the birth of skateboarding, right? He was there and showed me a video of him just like tearing the place apart. I mean, he's a really good skater. And his quote to, or comment to Susie was that, "I skate all over. I've been waiting for this thing to open for 2 years and watching the development." And he goes, "It's good as any skate park in Central California." Wow. So that was quite a testament to the design team and the folks that built it. So, but anyway, we're off and running. Nice to have a project off the list for our team. The other thing I mentioned too is that our Midco locker room renovations and expansion are underway at Midco. So those are moving along. It's obviously disrupted some normal activity because of the lack of availability of those locker rooms, but excited about that getting underway so that all the users have a little more elbow room and bigger and better lockers. And so looking forward to that. And again, thanks to Jennifer and Joe for helping providing $500,000 to make that happen. Jackie's team are really knocking it out of the park with lessons. A lot of swimming lessons are getting taken care of. A variety of different reasons, but staffing obviously certainly helps as well to be able to have enough instructors to be able to offer as many lessons as we'd like. You know, there's Safe Splash and there's MB and there's all kinds of other providers that are providing them. And literally the minute they open, they fill up for especially those lower levels, those entry level learn to swim type programs. So hats off to Jackie and Jean and the team over at Midco for making that happen. And I hope with these new facilities we're bringing on, we can just continue to help to meet the demand for lessons. And that's, if you remember, when we went out to the community for Frank Olson, Keene Park, swimming lessons was the number one programming request that we've had. So and it makes sense. It's a life safety skill. Everybody should know how to swim.
Are we turning any kids away?
At some of the lower levels, we are. And that just has to do with spacing and timing. Yeah. So as these new facilities come online, we'll be able to open more lower level classes, allowing more kids to participate. But summer, year over year summer, we're over 150 kids this summer alone. So
indoor water will help with that, I would think, right?
It'll add
to year round.
Yep.
Can offer them year round then too. So that's a nice thing about
and
that.
We will have to fall short a little bit this with Midco going under the locker room renovation. We won't be able to do as many lessons here this fall winter as we have typically, but once that locker room expansion is done, we'll be able to bring it back online and keep them going. So.
The other thing is the ever popular hydrant parties that we do out in the parks and work with the fire department, the police department, health department, libraries. It's quite a sight if you've never been to a hydrant party. I encourage you to go. We've got DJs and it's just a big neighborhood party. So it's a great deal and lots of community buildings happening there with the firemen and the fire trucks, and it's just a great deal. Also want to let you know that Brett and Jackie and to a certain extent myself have been meeting with the Sanford Wellness employees in anticipation of the transition into operations. I would characterize those meetings as having gone very well. Obviously they have questions that we were able to answer. We had our HR team there talking about our civil service process for hiring. Obviously it's different than, you know, private sector, all in all, those went really well. Appreciate Brett and Jackie's time and to really, you know, maybe calm any concerns that might be out there about opportunities for employment and things like that. Obviously, they're a valuable asset because they know the membership, they know the buildings and those kinds of things. So we're now in the process of now ramping up next steps and continuing on with IT and various other city departments that have to be involved in the transition there. So there's a lot of work ahead of us, but know that that's starting to happen. And we've communicated to the employee base that you'll start to see us over here more and more often so that we can prepare, order equipment, get things in place that we'll need come transition time. So other thing I mentioned too is that seal coating got a little delayed because of something called flooding. And so Brett and the ops team are working to continue to do seal coating and crack sealing. And so that's going to continue on and get wrapped up. One thing that it's a small thing, but just in case you get questions, we do have lighting on the skate park. And so the lighting is set up to come on a half hour before sunset and to go off at 10 p.m. And so just know that that's where we're at because the park closes at 10. And so FYI, a little trivia maybe someday. But Brian's done a nice job. And so now it's so automated. You can use a smartphone to turn them on and off. And they're but it's nice to have the lighted skate park. And kids were out there till 10 o'clock last night. We have a camera on that facility as well. So, and then lastly, but not least, certainly is Delbridge. We had a meeting last Friday. Mick was part of that, as you know. We had AM Art Conservators provide a report on that. Delbridge Collection provided their findings. I wouldn't say there were any landslide new information or anything like that. Nothing really popped up. A lot of the same information, but just from a different perspective, I think. But one thing they are is a very well-respected art restoration group, not only in the United States, but across the world, where they do work all over. So it certainly provides a lot of credibility. And then the other thing that at the conclusion of the meetings, next steps were to develop an RFP to request interest from potential other nonprofits across the country in the collection itself, whether they'd be interested in all of it, some of it, under what condition would they be willing to take it. And so we're working on our RFP proposal form through our finance team, and then our intent is to get back together as a group, discuss the RFP, and then upon everybody's blessing of that RFP, we would cast a wide net to try to see what kind of interest there is out there in it. And then when we get those proposals back, say 90 days later after we issue it, that we would bring that back to the working group again and see what we come up with, see what our net caught, so to speak. So Mick, anything else to add to how that meeting went or your thoughts about?
No, I think that it was good. It's good to have that comprehensive database on those. I think that'll be really helpful to the anybody that's interested, because they can search that database of a number of different characteristics and things so that they can make decisions about what they might want, what they might not want, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think hopefully we can all be hopeful maybe that there's, you know, whether that's a local group or a national, you know, outside the state or anything like that, you know, would look for somebody that's interested in it and wants to take it on. So see what we get.
And at the road blocks that kind of seemed to be an issue as far as transferring it to another entity.
Yeah, that's been changed. The
all
state
addressed.
Changed.
Right.
Yeah, changed that. So we have options to go outside of the state as long as it's to a nonprofit, but it could be a brand new setup nonprofit, those types of things. Yeah. So somebody could organize a nonprofit, again, whether that be locally or nationally,
elsewhere.
And you know, submit a proposal. So
yeah, that law changed July 1. So yeah.
But I think the family that donated that, if there were issues there, that's certainly not an issue at this point. The donor family, as far as flexibility of whatever happens to it.
Yeah, I. You know, obviously there's various levels of interest from, but not only the Brock House but the Delbridge, but. They didn't attend our meeting this last time, but obviously I'm sure they remain interested in what the future of the collection would hold, but we're still in that process of trying to figure that out. So obviously they'll certainly be interested when the working group comes up with some recommendations and provide some feedback to the working group at some point to just get their thoughts on it too, along with the general public too.
It doesn't sound like the information that we've learned so far with all that has moved the zoo board and the zoo leadership team to lean one way or the other.
Yeah, I think if you look at their master plan, they have a placeholder in the master plan for the zoo for, you know, a place where they could potentially put a facility to house the collection or a portion of the collection, whatever that ended up being. But the zoo's made it clear that it's not a core part of their kind of master plan to go that, you know, to have that type of a collection. So it would seem to be more appropriate in a more of a, like a museum that's focused on natural history. That it's not, it's a contradictory kind of thing from the zoo's perspective.
That's what I have for a report. Any other comments or feedback or questions?
I watched the council meeting, or the informational meeting. Can you talk a little bit about what the discussion was on the clubhouse?
Yep. So we received bids late June on the clubhouse. They came in better through some clarifications in the plans and specifications, but also through some cost-saving measures that we introduced following the first bid, knowing that those bids came in fairly high. What other things can we do to try to make the next time we went out to bid it come in lower? Things, whether material finishes, countertops, ceilings, lighting, various different aspects of the overall project cost. Architects suggested various different solutions for material types that may be more affordable, those kinds of things. But the council deferred the proposed bid award of Wood to Hay Construction primarily around their interest in where the dollars were coming from to support the additional dollars of $1.5 million to get the entirety of the project done. The new clubhouse, the first tee headquarters, the new cart storage facility, and the new Hall of Fame that would go into that facility. We provided information to them about where those sources of revenue would come from. We're not asking for new money for the project, but we are, we have experience opportunities within our existing capital plan in this year to provide funding like we do with, there's always transfers all year long for between various different projects. Some projects come in under budget, some projects come in right at budget, some come in over budget, and between that we're in the process of transferring dollars, and all the city departments that have capital projects have the capacity to do that with their own, within their own departments. And so that's what we had proposed. I think the request coming back from council, because they want to take it up because we have 30 days to award the bid, that would be that we provide additional detail as to the sources of revenue for the additional funds above and beyond what we originally budgeted. So that was the crux of that.
I understand.
Well, I thought it was pretty clear, but certainly we'll give them whatever they need to be able to answer the question. So, and just I think the overriding concern maybe is that they want to make sure other projects aren't getting delayed or cut in order to award this bid award.
So,
and that's not the case. Where everything we plan to do in 24 is either happened, going to happen, or about to happen. So I just reassured them of that as well. So, but we'll get there. I think everybody wants to see the project move forward. I think there are just questions about what's the source of the additional funds. So,
okay. Any other questions for Don? Thank you, Don. With that, I don't believe there are any other business for us today. No reading of communications to the board. Any open board discussion at this time? If not, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
And we are adjourned. Thank you.